Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Okay, so in studio we have Michael Bormont, who is the chairperson of Action SA. Thank you so much for being with us. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening. It's always good to be with you in studio, and even better to be talking about the city in which we live.
It is, because you heard me introduce what we're going to be discussing, water being one of those things. And as Action SA, you had a press briefing today announcing the fact that you want to go to now come into the ring in the province. Let me ask you this, Michael. I know the whole day people have been saying to yourselves, as well as the Action SA leader, you know, you've once said you don't want to work with the ANC and so on. I know that you've responded to that extensively. The question I have for you, with the number of seats that you actually had after the elections, which is quite a lot, more than many, 44, was it an automatic response not to go into government initially?
Well, I think we need to be clear. After the 2021 elections, Action SA formed part of a government under the mayoralty of Mpho Palatse. And we had members of the mayoral committee who were delivering really good quality work and starting to drive change in the city. So it was always the intention to be in government and to deliver. But when that government was ousted eventually by the Patriotic Alliance moving across to the ANC, you know, we spent a number of years too, in fact, trying to work with our former partners to take back the city so that we could deliver again to the residents of Johannesburg. But instead, what we've had is a dynamic where the big political parties in Joburg are not leading. So the ANC is refusing to lead, and that's why we have a mayor who, if we're very polite about it, is an empty suit. And the DA is not leading because they're not willing to do what's necessary to take back the city. And this is why ultimately we've come to the conclusion that we can't continue to sit on our hands as the third largest party in Johannesburg, and that we can put those seats to work in the benefit to the benefit of the residents of the city. And that's exactly what we plan to do.
Yeah. So the question I was asking was that immediately after this year's election, was it automatic? And I know, obviously, there was an expectation by us. I'm not necessarily sure whether you thought so, that what looked like a government of national unity at a national level will replicate itself at a provincial level. I don't know whether that's the impression you also got. But was it automatic that you were not going to go into this relationship with the ANC at that time?
Yeah, I think so. We've come out of a process of reviewing our election campaign. And certainly it has been our view to avoid the government of national unity. We call it the Grand Coalition, as we have nationally and provincially, for reasons that we've articulated. But I think certainly when we look at Johannesburg, we're seeing a very different municipal dynamic. And part of our review of our election campaign has been to go to our constituency, to go to our structures on the ground. And there are an enormous number of those people who are saying we are not putting our 44 seats to good use in Johannesburg. And ultimately, as we approach a local government election, political parties face the existential question of what have you done in the last 5 years with my vote? And if our only answer is that we have sat in the opposition benches where we have been unable to implement change that people need, then ultimately I think we're not going to have a good answer to that question. Mm. So a lot of what we're trying to do is to create a set of conditions for our support being supplied in a confidence and supply model to this government. But those conditions being people-centric benefits that we can bring the residents of Johannesburg to aid them in the difficult times in which they live.
Was it an easy decision, especially after the utterances that we know? I mean, and look, I think it's fair to say the leader of Action SA has had quite clear reasons why he didn't want to work with the ANC. For instance, he's spoken about corruption and other things. So it's very clear why he had those sentiments. But was it easy for the Senate to eventually get to the decision? Maybe it's time to start negotiating and discussing, you know, relations with the ANC.
It's never easy to make that kind of a decision, and particularly hard when, as leaders, you have been very vocal and outspoken on this particular topic, because it's natural for people to want to suggest that this is like a contradiction, and for people to try and humiliate you for what it is you're doing. But, you know, as a Senate, we had a lengthy discussion, and our views were that whatever personal difficulties we have in this decision, they have to come second to what is right for Johannesburg. Because ultimately, if we put our politics before that, then we are doing the wrong thing. And ultimately, we have to believe in the politics of doing the right thing with the knowledge that residents will see that and ultimately reward us in the ballot paper in time to come. And it's also important to recognize we live in a highly changing political environment. The world before the 29th of May was a very different political world to the one that has emerged since the 29th of May. And as a political organization, it's no different from any other. Either you adapt or you die. And we do need to adapt, because I think the reality is the post-29 May world, voters are saying we are slightly less concerned about what configurations of government deliver than we are about how they deliver. And I think that's something that we are seized by without abandoning our principles, because there is no question that our concerns about the ANC before the 29th of May remain our concerns now. We don't think the ANC has gone straight after having lost its national provincial majority. But at the end of the day, we will be able to do more to hold that government to account through this arrangement than we could beforehand.
Okay. So obviously you went in with some conditions before you can even have this conversation. I know publicly there's been talk of the mayor, the speaker role as well. What other really on the ground service delivery issues are you going to be dealing with as you come into this?
Well, the first condition, and let's deal with it, is absolutely Mayor Gwamanda must go. Yeah. We will not vote for one item as long as Mayor Gwamanda is there, because he is a compromise mayor who effectively is being paid for by the residents of Johannesburg, who continue to toil in a city with a mayor who does not possess the ability to do the job. And I'm afraid the evidence of that is everywhere around us. So certainly, from our point of view, that was condition number one. Mm. Condition number two is there has to be the reversal of this 200 Rand surcharge on prepaid electricity account users. This is a heartless thing to do in a city of people who are suffering in tough economic times. And this was completely misreading the room by imposing that kind of surcharge without adequate consultation or care. But beyond that, part of our negotiations have been to say that Action SA must take up positions in the legislature, including the speaker, because we don't want to co-govern with the ANC. We want to hold the ANC to account. We want to be a strong opposition, and we need a legislature that ensures that the executive is being held accountable and not being defended, which has always been the case in the past. And then finally, a big part of this is negotiating a series of motions that we will be bringing to council, which motions are going to position frontline service delivery issues on the agenda of the city once again. And I don't think it comes as a surprise that the issue of water, electricity and roads in Johannesburg, as well as cleaning and cleanliness, have been massive problems in the last few years. And we are going to make sure that through motions, we can drive those agendas on behalf of the people of Johannesburg.
Okay, so Al Jamar is their candidate, is one that you want to completely get rid of. Is there another party that you feel does not belong in the city of Johannesburg?
I don't think it's for us to say who belongs in the city of Johannesburg. That's what the voters decide. And I would hate to try and cast aspersions on people belonging or not, because ultimately we have a multi-party democratic system for a reason. I do think it's fair to say that a party that only had a few thousand votes really shouldn't be fielding a mayor. I think we need political parties at the top of the food chain to field mayors, because those are the political parties that come with constituencies that are large enough to warrant such a thing. Ultimately, we want to watch out for which mayor can be put forward, mm-hmm. who is not compromised, because mm-hmm. there's a lot of compromised people in the city of Johannesburg,
yes.
and who can have a track record of getting things right. And we've even said in our discussions with the ANC that if you put forward the wrong kind of candidate, mm-hmm. we're not going to support them. Because if we have people who have been compromised and implicated, they're not going to receive our votes. And that's a big part of this arrangement being on an issue-by-issue basis. Action SA will decide whether we vote for something. Mm-hmm. If it is good or bad for the residents of Joburg, we'll be held accountable on that.
You don't have to tell me the name, but have you proposed a name to the ANC?
Not at all. I think
mayor?
It would be hugely arrogant of us to tell another political party what the outcome of their processes should be. And I can tell you right now, if another political party tried to do that to us, they would be met with a great deal of contempt. I think from our point of view, we've said, go through your processes, mm-hmm. let us know who that candidate is, and then we will apply our minds to that question, and we wait to hear from them in that regard.
Okay. So Al Jamar today has already responded. The leader says there's no such thing. They have great relations with the ANC. In fact, they've got a meeting tomorrow, and everything as they know it stands. Gwamanda is going nowhere. Does that mean you may have to go to a motion of no confidence for the mayor?
Well, certainly it all becomes an option, but I think it's quite premature, because I think with the greatest of respect, with the two seats that Al Jamar has, I think it's not really up to them in terms of how this whole arrangement happens. The whole point is that we've had a empty suit of a mayor who is propped up by other political parties. So it's actually up to those other political parties as to how long he remains in that position. But we will monitor the situation closely and listen attentively. But the one thing about which we are very clear is that there is no understanding of any kind as long as Gwamanda is the mayor.
So the ANC has made it clear, at least publicly, that they cannot review. They hear what people are saying about the surcharge, but it will only happen, perhaps if it does, in the next financial year. You said it's a non-negotiable. They need to review this and, you know, actually we must pretend it didn't happen. You did have extensive conversation with the ANC, as you said, about this, and they were okay with this?
Without any question. And I think in order to answer this question, you have to appreciate what Action SA is doing in this arrangement. Because right now, the ANC is between the devil and the deep blue sea. They have a coalition that has a majority on paper. But every time they go to council, the EFF or the Patriotic Alliance hold them over a barrel. And particularly the EFF, what they do is they, in the morning of council, saying, we're not going to approve the loan agreement for 2 billion rand until you reinstate our people in Ekurhuleni, which got nothing to do with Joburg or the Joburg residents or the budget of Joburg that is needed to deliver services. So what the ANC is doing by engaging us is to bring more votes into the pool available to them so that no single party can hold them over a barrel. It's the right decision to do from a point of view of stability, because if no party can renege on something, everyone toes the line a little bit better. The point that I'm raising this whole issue for is at the end of the day, we are the ones saying, if you would like any support on any issue, condition number two after the removal of the mayor is the reversal of the surcharge. And we are quite confident that the ANC is going to require our support going forward in Johannesburg in such a manner that they are going to have to reverse the surcharge. We've investigated that surcharge when Herman Mashaba was mayor of Johannesburg. And there were other ways in which that money could be raised. That needs to be done in this particular instance, starting with people who do not pay their municipal accounts.
And you're going to support the approval of that loan as well, I'm assuming?
Well, absolutely. I think we've looked at the terms of the loan. The first time it came to council, we had a lot of questions because the interest rates are quite high. But at the end of the day, the credit ratings of the city we've looked at, you know, do not provide a lot of options for a loan of that magnitude and the nature of it. So ultimately, it is the right thing to do, because if you don't approve that loan, you create a 2 billion rand hole in the operating budget of the city of Johannesburg. And I can tell you right now, Pamela, that's not coming out of salaries. It's not coming out of rentals, it's coming out of service delivery. And that's why we can't allow that hole to exist.
You made mention of very important things about how, for instance, some of their other, and I'm not going to say formal partners, but other parties within this coalition arrangement have kind of, you know, wielded a stick. If you do this for us, we'll do this. But they've always negotiated on other cities as well, based on other things in the other cities. How did those conversations go with you? Because they seem to be entangled, if I may say the right word, entangled in what may happen in Tswane, what may happen in Ekurhuleni, for instance.
Well, we're bringing an interesting dynamic, because by lending our votes to this arrangement, even on an issue-by-issue basis, what we are doing is providing stability across the whole. And particularly by doing so in Ekurhuleni and Johannesburg at the same time, we reduce the extent to which the residents of one city should be held ransom by the events in another city. Because ultimately, it is crazy to have decision-making predicated upon what is happening elsewhere. When public representatives have sworn an oath of office to the residents of the city in question, and they are meant to serve their particular best interests. And to think that the service delivery agenda has been frustrated by one party trying to advance their agenda in another municipality is actually outrageous. We've got to call that what it is. With Action SA bringing our seats to the table, we reduce the extent to which that can happen. And at the end of the day, if the ANC approaches us like they have on this loan agreement and says, the EFF is playing politics with the loan agreement, are you willing to support it? We look at the terms of it and we determine that it is a market-related rate and a fair arrangement that isn't corrupt, etc. We'll support it. And soon what will happen is parties like the EFF will realize that there's no space for them to play the kind of politics without being shown up for what it is.
What does it mean for Tswane?
Well, in Tswane, we're already in a coalition arrangement with the Democratic Alliance, the IFP, the Freedom Front, and various other political parties. And that particular arrangement continues. We are part of that arrangement. We have signed up to a coalition agreement. Unlike many of our partners, we actually take seriously coalition agreements we sign up to. And if we have problems within a coalition, which we do, we will deal with it within that coalition. But if you look at the track record of the ANC and the EFF and Chuane, those are two parties that have demonstrated they ought not to be in the executive governing that particular city. But I want to say, as an example of why we hold dear that arrangement, mm-hmm. is not because of the political parties in question. You know our history,
yes.
and our difficulties.
Yes.
But let me put it to you in people-centric terms. Mm-hmm. At the end of September, clean water will run to the people of Hammanskraal.
Yes, because
of
today.
For the first time in 18 years.
Yeah.
That is something that we hold dear,
yeah.
and we will fight for that.
Yeah.
Because it's something that we've been instrumental in achieving.
I still don't... Look, I know you're trying to explain it to me, but I still don't understand how you are so loyal to parties that continue to dishonor agreements that they have with you.
I think it's really important to reorientate ourselves to say, who are we loyal to?
Mm.
Because we aren't loyal to political parties.
Okay.
We're loyal to people, South Africans.
Mm-hmm.
And we must start to realize, and we're starting to develop this maturity as a political party. It's taken us nearly 4 years, so we're getting there. That ultimately... we need to define our working relationships not based on you are good guys and you are bad guys. Mm-hmm. The truth is most of these political parties are bad guys and different shades of it. What we need to do is, in the context of each municipality, look at an arrangement that works best for the residents of that place,
mm-hmm.
to define it, to communicate it, and then to get behind it.
Mm.
And I think Action SA has gone through a developmental process to say that perhaps saying we will never work with political parties is not the right approach.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to look at what's going to work best in that particular environment, notwithstanding the fact that there are no angels in our land of work to work with.
Okay, so what we've been hearing about what may be happening in Tshwane, a motion of no confidence against the mayor, you are saying for the sake of the residents, you are going to be quite loyal to your arrangement that you already have in your arrangement, in your agreements, coalition agreements in Tshwane.
Absolutely. And in fact, Pamelo, an interesting angle about our arrangements in Tshwane
mm-hmm.
is that part of the arrangements we have secured in our discussions with the ANC regarding Janasberg and Mekurhuleni
mm-hmm.
is for them to get the ATM
yeah.
speaker
yes.
in the city of Tshwane,
yes.
who was wrongfully elected after a vote-buying saga, to resign so that Action SA can take up the seat it was always intended to have
oh.
as the speaker of that city.
Yeah.
Because at the moment, what you have is a Trojan horse. You have an executive from the coalition,
mm-hmm.
and you've got a speaker put there by the ANC and the EFF that has proven willing to produce instability to undermine that government.
Okay.
Action SA needs to be there so we can hold that government to account as well, because we've seen in Tshwane the need for us to do that with the example around this Rooivaal wastewater
mm-hmm.
treatment plant,
mm-hmm.
the unsolicited bid with Kratos. These are all things that have demonstrated that there has to be accountability, whether it's blue or yellow.
Okay, so the speaker is in question. The speaker role in Tshwane is in question, and you want that speaker
Well,
out.
To be clear, about a year and a half to 2 years ago, the coalition that we are a part of resolved that Action
that.
SA must take up the position of speaker. So
yeah.
it's already been resolved.
Yeah.
When we came to elect the speaker, you may recall
that
our coalition partners in blue did the rather...
Yeah.
how do we say, less than intelligent thing,
or
rather
that.
Than voting, they numbered their ballot
yes.
papers one to whatever, which you know ultimately caused them to be invalid and caused the ATM speaker to be elected. And that's why we have an ATM speaker in that city still today.
Well, in any way, we've seen the problems with the speaker role in Tshwane. I think there have been many incidences where there's been, in fact, many fights around the role of the speaker there. Can we take a quick break? And when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Michael Bormann, who is Action SA chairperson. Thank you so much for staying with us. Michael Bormann is chairperson of Action SA in studio with us. I really appreciate you coming in. It's always much better, Michael, when one sits across somebody in the studio. All right, so we spoke a little bit about local government elections that are coming up, and there are anyway, 5 years from now, other national elections coming up. But the... you are calling it the Grand Coalition, others are calling it Government of National Unity, have said that they're going to go to a big old national Indaba, and when they come back after they've discussed certain issues, they may say, look, who else can we talk to? Would you still be open to that invitation at the national level as Action SA?
No, most certainly not. We've been quite clear to say that the Grand Coalition's greatest sin
mm-hmm.
is to co-opt 70% of Parliament into government.
Mm.
And let's be clear, I mean, it's a Grand Coalition between the ANC and the DA. 19.3 of that internal agreement says when they decide, that's the decision.
Mm.
And everyone else who's joining is basically joining to enjoy the perks of German sedans and chauffeur-driven vehicles and all the perks that go with it.
Mm.
From our point of view, the sin is because you're taking away the opposition in South Africa And if you believe that power corrupts, you absolutely have to believe that absolute power will corrupt absolutely. And that is our concern here, because corruption doesn't take the form of one particular party or another.
Mm-hmm.
It takes the form when there's impunity, when people can do as they please and get away with it. And that's why we must be very concerned already with some trends that we are seeing, because some people want to applaud this grand coalition just for being a fish that swims. But let's look at the early indications. The biggest cabinet in the history of South Africa, not a good thing. The only increase in policing in the budget this time around was to VIP policing. And on top of that, you now have political parties trading away their right to hold the president to account on pala-pala on the basis of, quote-unquote, the EFF saga with VBS is a greater crime than the crime committed by our partner. Now, if that's not the slippery slope that's going to require accountability and opposition, I don't know what is. We need to play that role.
Did you then consider regrouping with others, maybe sort of where you are at, and coming together as an official opposition, as coalition parties? Was it something that you considered?
Absolutely. And it's a process that's already underway.
Okay.
There's conversations going on with other political parties. And I can say Build One South Africa has been a natural ally in this regard. And I commend Musi and his team for the approach that he has taken. So we are in talks in that regard. There are other political parties that are starting to talk. And I'm going to make a prediction here, and I hope you kind of record. Rise has joined the GNU.
Yes.
So I'm afraid they don't make for a wonderful ally from an accountability point of view, because you can't be fish and fowl at the same time. And I think they're trying to be both, which is a bit of a problem. But actually, I'm going to make a small prediction to you, is that when some of these other political parties realize that they are extraneous to the decision-making process between the DA and the ANC, which is 100% the truth, I suspect the ranks of the opposition are going to start swelling in the next few months, as people realize they're going to be held accountable for a government they have absolutely no control over.
I think you're right. Let me take a call, if you don't mind, Michael. Bongani is on the line, calling from Soweto. Bongani, good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Kaya family, and good evening to your guest there.
Evening, Bongani.
I've got a question and a comment. The question, firstly, is that based on the motion of no confidence of trying to remove the mayor, and at the same time, I'd like to know and understand who is their best interest candidate, and do they have any plans with regard to their best candidate that they prefer? And again, do they understand that with this lot of motion of no confidence stuff, are they aware that they are compromising the service delivery for the people on the ground? And the more they delay, people who are suffering, it's not them, but the communities.
So that was a question. And is that it, Bongani?
Yes.
Okay.
The first question was that who their best candidate is, and do they have any plans with regard to that person?
Fantastic. Thanks, Bongani in Soweto.
Yeah, Bongani, thank you. That's a great question. And I want to agree with you. Motions of no confidence have become too common. And if we're really clear, a lot of it is just around political posturing. As a matter of fact, I think we need to change the rules in our local government system in particular to say that you've got to have an impeachable level offense to remove a democratically elected mayor. But Bongani, I hope you won't mind disagreeing with you on one thing. This mayor has got to be removed in this particular regard, because firstly, he has no discernible constituency that you can say that democratically we must respect. He's only got about 4,000 or 5,000 votes. But on top of that, the city of Johannesburg is falling apart. And if the evidence is everywhere around us, if you throw a rock in Johannesburg, it's going to hit a service delivery problem. The amount of places that are without electricity or water at any given point in time, not even to speak of the condition of our roads or the cleanliness of many areas. I would suggest to Bongani, we haven't had a mayor for the last while. And actually what we're talking about doing is ensuring that perhaps the city does have some leadership going forward. As it relates to Action SA's stable of candidates who can provide leadership, we got the most fantastic team of people. We got 44 councillors in Johannesburg. The average age is sitting in their late 30s or early 40s. A young team of people, but they have proven dynamic, led by our caucus leader, Nobuhle Mthembu, who has been leading the charge on the issue of the water crisis in Johannesburg and the 200 rand surcharge on city power. And she's led a team of councillors on these issues in a spectacular manner. And we are currently going through that caucus to see who can play those roles in the legislature to hold them to account. But one thing I can tell you is when you look at Action SA in Parliament, in the provincial legislatures or in council, we're producing talent and producing people that whatever number they are, they feel like three or four times as many because they really are making their voice heard and their impact felt.
One of the things that Herman Mashaba did when he was the mayor, he was very open, very publicly so, about what he discovered when he went in, saying that he was also quite horrified by the fact that many officials in the city themselves, who were not necessarily politicians, but were working on behalf of politicians and were corrupt themselves, right? He himself actually fired some DA people who he thought were also corrupt. That's going to be tough where you sit. I mean, how are you going to make sure? You're saying you're going to hold this council to account and you're going to hold them accountable. It's going to be very, very difficult. Herman Mashaba has also spoken about corruption everywhere. It's everywhere. How are you going to manage in the city of Johannesburg?
Well, I think we must be clear. It's difficult from where we currently are.
Yes.
Because where we currently are, we can't do much of any of this. But actually, if you are going to hold up the position of speaker, mm-hmm. which is head of the legislature, yeah. that has powers to refer matters for investigation, that provides leadership over committees like the Municipal Public Accounts Committee, that has the power to summon politicians and officials and service providers to the city to account, as well as various committees of that nature, you really are going to have real institutional power to continue the fight that Herman Mashaba started against corruption in the city of Johannesburg. I was there with Herman Mashaba with over 6,000 cases under investigation, totaling more than 36 billion rand. It really was the first time that you could really point to a genuine institutional level combating of corruption anywhere in politics in South Africa. And I would venture, Action SA going into this positions in the legislature affords us the opportunity to continue that fight. Where we have been up until now, we've had to be spectators while that fight has not been taking place. And there are so many of those cases that have never been dealt with. And I think we have got all those records ready to go and to have real accountability there.
Michael Bowman, thank you so much for making time for us. Really, thank you. And I think we're going to be speaking soon.
I hope so.
When are we likely to get real announcements from...
Well, we're going to wait and see. The nature of the approach we've taken is very much to put the matter in the hands of those other parties. Mm-hmm. We've communicated our willingness. Mm-hmm. And now we wait to see what their next move will be. The ball is in their court. Mm-hmm. But I do think we're going to start to see action in the next week to 10 days. Mm-hmm. And if I may suggest, it would be great to get a new Action SA speaker in here to hear about their plans, because what I say is one thing. What they do is what they must be held accountable for.
Action SA chairperson, Michael Bowman, thank you so much for your time.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.